Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
Sometimes we wait too long to share words of blessing with those that we're closest to. Like whenever I attend a funeral and I hear all the wonderful things that people are saying about the person that's passed away, right? I always think to myself, did I or anybody else ever say these nice things to the person while they were alive? And if not, why didn't I? Why didn't they? Like, what were we waiting for?
The last time you were with us, Pastor Michael began honoring moms by talking about the importance of physical touch. It's nearly impossible to live without it. Today, Pastor Michael continues by sharing with us how important it is to speak words of love to the people that mean the most to us. And as you just heard from Pastor Michael, the reason is obvious. Our time is short here on earth. Don't wait to tell your loved ones just how much they mean to you. Now, here's Pastor Michael as he continues his special message, Mama Bear.
The word also teaches us, very interesting verse in Proverbs. It says that a wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish man, it says, despises his mother. A foolish man despises his mother. Like, I just find it interesting that how we treat our family is so important to the Lord. Like, oftentimes we'll talk about what it means to really live our lives for Jesus, like to walk in his footsteps. We've discussed a lot how a disciple of Jesus Christ relates to God and how we should relate to the world around us, how a disciple should relate to sin, how we should be relating to the people that don't know Jesus. We'll talk about how we should relate to even those people that are sort of pushed off into the margins of life, those that are poor, those that are oppressed or whatever. You know, the truth is the American family is having some real problems. I'm going to share with you a couple things here that I have written down, just some statistics here, not to scare you, but I just want to share these about divorce and teenage runaway and even abuse. Listen to this. 41% of first marriages end in divorce, 60% of second marriages, and 73% of third marriages end in divorce. If your parents are happily married, your risk of divorce decreases by 14%. People who wait to marry until they're over the age of 25 are 24% less likely to get divorced. And living together prior to getting married can increase the chance of getting divorced by as much as 40%. Interesting. Runaways. Listen to this. 1 in 5 teenagers will run away at least once. I mean, that's a lot of kids running away from a lot of families. There's so much here, I'm not going to read it all. Wife abuse. 1 in every 4 women will experience domestic violence in her lifetime. Listen, I'm not trying to just depress everybody with a bunch of horrible statistics, but the truth is that there are a lot of great marriages out there, and there's a lot of great families out there, and there's a lot of incredible, wonderful relationships between parents and children. Absolutely. But I just want to make the point that family is really important. Like, marriages are important. The way that we treat each other in our own homes is important. It's vitally important. Like, many years ago now, I was a youth pastor, and as a youth pastor, I would talk to parents often, and I remember talking to parents of teenagers, and they would express things, like one time this lady told me, she said, "Hey, Pastor Michael, it's awesome that you took my kid to camp, and they came back fired up for God. It's so cool. Thank you for doing that, and I see them worshiping in church now, and I see them bringing their Bible even to school with them, and they always want to go to church, and they always want to be at youth group or whatever, and it's just awesome. Thank you for doing that. Hey, could you do me a favor, Pastor Michael? Would you mind preaching a sermon that they don't just need to be Christians at school or whatever and at church, but that they should be Christians at home?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" They're like, "Yeah, last night my daughter slammed the door in my face and was screaming at me. And I was just thinking maybe it would be good if she knew that being a Christian started at home too." Although we talk a lot about living for Jesus and shining for Christ at church or at work or at school or in our neighborhoods or whatever, what about the reflection that we are of Jesus in our homes? Listen, whether you are a mother or a father, or a child, or a teenager, or a spouse, or a grandparent, there are some things that are really, really important for us to kind of get a hold of in our relating with those in our own homes. And my prayer today, I want to share some of these things with you today. And my prayer is that somehow we will be able to bring glory to God through the way that we treat each other and those that are closest to us in our homes. So the first thing I want to share with you is something that is called a meaningful touch, a meaningful touch. I remember reading a story one time about a 4-year-old girl who became really, really frightened in her room one night during a thunderstorm. And after one particularly loud clap of thunder, she jumped up out of her bed, ran down the hall, and burst into her mom and dad's room and jumped up into the middle of the bed. She was seeking out her parents' arms of comfort and assurance or whatever. And she got it. Her mother said, honey, don't worry. It's just thunder. You're going to be okay. She was trying to calm her down. And then the mommy said this. She said, the Lord is going to take care of you. And the little girl snuggled into her parents' arms. And then she said this, I know that the Lord will take care of me, mommy. I know. But right now, I just really need someone with skin on. I love that. Like, the little girl didn't doubt God's ability to protect her, but she was also aware that he had given her earthly parents that she could run to. Someone whom God had entrusted with a special gift that could bring her comfort and security and acceptance. Like what I'm calling a meaningful touch. A meaningful touch. You know, the idea of giving a 4-year-old who's really, really scared of a thunderstorm, giving her a hug and helping her feel better or whatever, probably isn't like too surprising to most of us. Like, we are all down with that and we understand that totally. A 4-year-old. What about a 14-year-old? What about a 24-year-old? What about a 34-year-old? What about your spouse? Because the truth is, all of us need meaningful touch. All of us. My mother passed away this past year, and I'm so grateful that I know she's with the Lord and that one day I'm going to see her again. But the truth is, I still miss my mom. And one of the things I missed the most about my mom was her hugs. Like, no one could hug like my mama. I am a hugger today. Those of you that know me, I love to hug people today. And I got that from her, because meaningful touch can be really, really important. In the Bible, touch played an important part in blessing others. Like, there's this story in the book of Genesis about a father named Isaac. And in the story, I'm not going to take the time to read the whole thing to you, but he's blessing his son. And he says this in Genesis chapter 27, verse 26. Then his father Isaac said to him, please come closer and kiss me, my son. The Hebrew word there for come closer is a super descriptive word. It's used to picture the overlapping scales on a crocodile's skin. Like, that's pretty close, right? Isaac, this dad, wasn't asking his son to give him one of those lame Aunt Bertha hugs, you know, like, no, man, he wants a long bear hug and a kiss. And what's interesting is that Jacob in this story, he's not 4 years old. He's not even 14 years old. Bible scholars believe he's probably around 40. Like, those in our families need meaningful touch, regardless of how old they are. And then the need for that meaningful touch, it doesn't ever go away. Actually, there are many examples throughout the Bible of meaningful touch happening. I'll give you a couple, okay? In the book of Mark, chapter 10, we see Jesus, and it tells us that he was placing his hands on the children and blessing them. Listen, could Jesus have blessed the children without laying hands on them? Probably. Absolutely, he probably could have. Absolutely, he probably could have. But there's something special about touch. He touches them, and we're told that. In Mark chapter 1, we read where Jesus stretched out his hand, and he touched a leper, and he cleansed him of his leprosy. Like, listen, I believe Jesus could have simply spoken the word and healed that leper, but he chose not to do that. He stretched out and he touched him first. Because touching that guy a guy that the world would have kind of labeled as disgusting and gross, and you stay away from him, touching him, Jesus was making a statement. Not a great statement. Last week, Pastor Connor, my son, spoke to the Young Life group in his club talk about that whole subject. It's such a good message. You got to go back and listen to it, man, about the touch there. I want to read to you guys a few other things that I found is so good. Why touch is so important. Do you know that over one third of our 5 million touch receptors are centered in our hands? Our hands are super sensitive. Think about someone who uses their hands to read Braille, for instance. Inside our bodies is hemoglobin, the pigment of the red blood cells, which carries oxygen to the tissues. There have been scientific studies, for example, Dr. Dolores Krieger, professor of nursing at New York University, these studies that show that hemoglobin levels in both people's bloodstreams go up during the act of laying on of hands. The person that's touching and the person that is being touched, both of their hemoglobin levels go way up. And as hemoglobin levels are invigorated, body tissues receive more oxygen. The increase of oxygen energizes a person and can even aid in the regenerative process if he or she is ill. Like wives, how would you like to lower your husband's or even your own blood pressure? Fathers, those of you with daughters, how would you like to protect your grade school daughter from being involved in an immoral relationship later on in life? How would you like to add up to 2 years to your own life? Sort of starting to sound like an insurance commercial. I don't mean to do that. But the truth is, these are all findings in studies on the incredible power of meaningful touch. I remember reading a story of the first day in an introductory speech class at a Bible college. The teacher of the class was going around and wanting to kind of get the students to know each other and introduce themselves to each other or whatever. And so each student was to say their name and then to respond to two questions. And the first question was, what do you like about yourself? And then the second question is, what is something that you don't like about yourself? Nearly hiding at the back of the room was Dorothy. And her long red hair hung down around her face, almost obscuring it from view. And when it was Dorothy's turn to introduce herself, there was only silence. So thinking perhaps that she didn't hear the question or whatever, the teacher moved his chair over near hers, and he gently repeated the question to her. And again, there was only silence. Finally, with a deep sigh, Dorothy sat up in her chair and she pulled back her red hair. And in the process, she revealed her face. And covering nearly all of one side of her face was this large, irregularly shaped birthmark, nearly as red as her hair. "That," she said, "should show you all what I don't like about myself." So moved with compassion, this godly professor, he leaned over and he gave her a hug right there. And then he kissed her right where her birthmark was. And he said these words. He said, "That's okay. God and I still think you're beautiful." So Dorothy cries uncontrollably for like 20 minutes. She's just crying. And pretty soon all the other students, they all gather around her desk or whatever. And they're offering, you know, her comfort or whatever. They didn't even know her. And when she finally could talk and she's dabbing away the tears or whatever, she said this to her professor, something like this. She said, "I've wanted so much for someone to hug me and say what you just said. Why couldn't my parents ever do that? My father, listen, my father won't even touch my face. If you want to be someone who is a blessing to others, I believe one thing is pretty clear. You got to be like Isaac. You got to be like Jesus. You got to be like that godly professor and include meaningful touch in your contact with those that you love." Moms out there, you're already probably pretty good at this. You probably are. But I just want to encourage you again. Don't stop touching. Don't stop hugging. Don't stop kissing and holding hands. Like, your kids may not act like it's a big deal to them, but it is. I promise you it is. Meaningful touch. Okay, last thing I want to sort of mention to you today, something that I think is as important as meaningful touch, is this. You ready? Spoken words. Spoken words. Remember the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Didn't that saying turn out to be a bunch of bull? It did, right? Because words do hurt, man. They hurt big time. If you're a mother or if you're a father, your kids need to hear words of blessing from you. If you're a husband, if you're a wife, your spouse needs to hear words of blessing, words of love, words of acceptance from you on a regular basis. Like, throughout scripture, we find that words are super duper important. In Genesis chapter 1, it was God's word that sort of got creation rolling, right? In the New Testament, the Gospel of John chapter 1, we're told that in the beginning was the word, and it was God. God was the word. In the book of James, the Holy Spirit uses three word pictures to sort of illustrate the power of the tongue or the power of words. The Holy Spirit, through James, says that our words are like three different things. First of all, he says they're like a bit in a horse's mouth, or a small rudder on a huge ship, or a small fire that can set ablaze an entire forest. The point there is that words are powerful. Sometimes I hear how people talk to each other, or parents, how they talk to their children. Actually calling them names or whatever in public. Like, I was at Walmart not too long ago, and I'm listening to this mother, and she's referring to this little boy. I don't know how old he was, maybe 4 or 5 years old. I mean, he was small, and he was sort of playing off to the side, and she yelled at him. She said, "Hey, dumb butt." She didn't say butt, but she called him a, I'm like, "What?" And then she says, "Stupid, get over here." And I got to tell you, man, I wanted to lay hands on her. I wanted meaningful touch on that woman's life right then and there, suddenly and repeatedly. Words are powerful, and words can affect the entire life of another person. And that's what James is getting at in that passage. They're powerful, man. Not only is what we say important, but the things that we don't say are also very, very important. They speak volumes. Like, there's this thief running rampant in the homes of too many families today. And that thief's name is busyness. Busyness. Just too busy. And let me tell you something, man. I get it. We are busy. I'm busy. Everybody's busy. Usually both parents in a home are working. And when we are home, we're tired. And silence can sort of become the norm in our homes, or as we watch TV all night or whatever. And if speaking into the lives of those we love the most, those we're closest to, if it becomes something that is continually getting put off until tomorrow or whatever, then I'm telling you, one day we are going to wake up and we are going to realize that we have missed out. And possibly we've caused a lot of damage in people's lives. You know, it's just the age-old story of the father trying to get alone with his son and communicate to his son how much his son means to him as right before the son goes off to college or whatever, but he's finally doing it and the son's like too busy, he can't listen. Or the mother who's sort of in that back room trying to convey a spoken blessing over her daughter in the bride's room there at the wedding, right before the wedding takes place, but she can't even get the words out because the photographer wants to take her away and just get that perfect shot or whatever. It's like you wait too much and it'll be too late. Spoken words of blessing should start in the delivery room, and they should continue throughout life. Yet the lack of time and that thief's motto, "I'll just do it tomorrow. I'll have time to tell them tomorrow, later," it robs children of a needed blessing that they need right now, today. And not just children. Not just children. I remember hearing about in counseling, a married couple was having some serious problems in their marriage, even considering divorce. And the counselor asked them, or he asked the husband, he said, "Listen, when's the last time that you told your wife that you love her?" And the husband's famous reply was, "I told my wife I loved her on our wedding day, and that should stick until I take it back." Can you guess what the problem was in their marriage? What was destroying the marriage? Like, sometimes we gotta hear it. We just gotta hear it. Sometimes we wait too long to share words of blessing with those that we're closest to. Like, whenever I attend a funeral, and I hear all the wonderful things that people are saying about the person that's passed away, right? I always think to myself, did I or anybody else ever say these nice things to the person while they were alive? And if not, why didn't I? Why didn't they? Like, what were we waiting for? I was reading about how in 1986, this plane crashes in Japan, and over 500 people died in the plane wreck. Okay, only four people survived. And they told reporters about that tragic last half hour before the plane actually did crash, how it was spinning out of control or whatever, because there had been an explosion in the rear of the plane with the stabilizer or something like that. And there was a man who died, and they found his body, and he had written a note, and it was in his pocket, and they pulled the note out, and they found this note of this Japanese man. Listen to this. He wrote, "I am very sad. I'm sure I will not make it. The plane is rolling around and descending rapidly. There was something like an explosion that has triggered smoke. Yasuki," which is his oldest son, he says, "I am counting on you. You and the other children, be good to each other and work hard. I am so proud of each of you. Remember to help your mother." And then he goes on, he says, "Kiko," which is his wife's name, "Kiko, please take good care of yourself and the children. To think our dinner last night was our last. I love you, and I'm grateful for the truly happy life I have enjoyed." Like, this man's wife and children no longer have him to hold and to love. He died when the plane crashed, but they do have his final words to them. Words that I would imagine are going to echo in their lives for the rest of their lives in a positive way. A positive way. There's actually three more points that I could go into about this idea of passing on a blessing to our spouses, our children, our friends, and others that we're close to. And they're all so good, man. There's actually five. I've only given you two: meaningful touch and spoken words, right? If I went into all five of the points, we would be here for 4 or 5 hours. But I just want to tell you, the ideas came from this book that I've read many times. It's called The Blessing by John Trent and Gary Smalley. And I cannot recommend this book more to anybody who's longing to be a blessing, to bring glory to Jesus through their marriages, through the way that they raise their children, through the ways that they are dealing with people and relationships. My prayer today is that you and I would make an active commitment to watching our mouths, what we say and what we don't say. May we make significant impacts on people because we have meaningful touch, but also we're always speaking words of life to them. We're always encouraging them. This message is really for all of us, the youngest to the oldest, that might be listening to me right now. But moms, I just want to say this, because it's Mother's Day. You are super duper important. Your hugs and your words, perhaps more than anyone else's, have just huge impact on so many. We honor you mothers today. May you each be blessed in order to be a blessing.
You've been listening to Pastor Michael Kraft and Burning Hearts. We're a ministry out of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. If you're in the area, we'd love to see you at our services on Saturday night or Sunday morning. We also have a Wednesday night Bible study. For directions to the church building and times of the service, come check us out online at thealpinechapel.com. Once again, that's thealpinechapel.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. If you'd like to learn more about the church and what we believe, head on over to the website. While you're there, you can fill out an email form with your questions or comments, or you can join with us in spreading the gospel through financial support. Here at Burning Hearts, we know it can be intimidating to try to share your faith. If you've ever felt insecure or fearful when you think about sharing the gospel, we have a great tool for you. It's called Something Missing, and you can find it on our website. It's a simple tool to help you get over the tongue-tied feeling and calm the butterflies in your stomach. We want to do everything we can to help you share the gospel. Come on over and add another tool to your tool bag. You never know when your opportunity will open up to share, and having tools available to you can help you take the chance. Being prepared can make an eternal difference in the lives of the people you love. Well, that's all we have time for today. Come back next time as we work together to stoke the coals of our burning hearts.